the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wise, yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hootie hoo, Stabcasters. How we all doing? Give us 1 second here, and I'm going to do another hootie hoo. Hello, everybody. We're experimenting with different things as well. We're doing Blog Talk Radio, of course, and then we're also coming live to you on TikTok, so... Hello, everybody. I am Mindy, and that is...
I'm Dan, and we're here for the Stabcast. And here on another Sunday, Easter Sunday, no, nothing special. We're still here talking about your favorite horror content. And we're here on TikTok as well as live on Blog Talk Radio. Join us however you can join us. You know, start liking it up. We're here to talk about the new Sydney Sweeney flick, Immaculate.
Yes, we are. And honestly, I found out something really cool about this piece right before we did this. I actually found out that Sydney Sweeney had actually auditioned for this particular role about 10 years ago. It was actually her first real audition.
Yeah.
And she got the part immediately, but it was supposed to be in a boarding school. It wasn't supposed to be a convent.
Okay.
So it was supposed to be a boarding school, but it was supposed to be kind of the same exact thing. Like, she got pregnant without actually having anything happen.
Yes.
So it was kind of the same script, but she tweaked it a little bit as she got older, and she actually got a executive producer right on the movie as well. And, I mean, honestly, she's been dedicated to it for 10 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, I was wondering why they picked her. But now, after hearing that, I realize now more that it's more of her picking the movie than them picking her.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, especially because when you have someone like the Sydney Sweeney Hollywood Experiment has been one of my favorite things to watch. I've seen... mostly every movie that she's come out with so far. The rom-com Anyone But You is a very fun time, and it's like a take on Shakespeare for a romantic comedy, and it's raunchy and it's fun, and it's what people that like Euphoria and like her, I think that's what they wanted to see her at. And that's why like it made $130 million, which is hard to do on a rom-com. Then, you know, she comes out swinging as a cast member of Madame Web, one of the biggest pieces of shit I've ever seen in the theater.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that Dakota Johnson got put in the middle of all that shit. They lied to her. They did her so dirty.
Dakota Johnson might have got fucked pretty hard in 50 Shades of Grey, but I think they fucked her way harder with Madame Web. That's all I'm saying.
I gotta agree with that. I feel really bad. I mean... guys, seriously, they told her that it was a fucking Marvel Universe movie. They were like, we're going to put you in the MCU. And then she comes on set after already signing the contract and finds out that it's Sony.
Yeah.
And she couldn't get out of it.
Now, that was and, you know, Sydney Sweeney, for this, to promote this, just hosted Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. And she legit said in the opening monologue, you may know me from Anyone But You or Euphoria. You definitely don't know me from Madame Web. She's already making jokes about it. So that flop does not seem to have hurt her career much, which is very, very good. But in this is her first, like, she doesn't have Glenn Powell with her. She doesn't have another star. She doesn't have, like, Zendaya with Euphoria. This is all on her back.
There's no one to feed off of.
To me, this is the first real test for her with Hollywood. It's not an ensemble cast. It's her. And she's kind of got to lead this thing. Going on that, how good of a job do you think she did before we get into the movie?
Before we get into it, I will say that she did a tremendous job at times.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there were a couple of times where she lost me, which we're going to get into that,
mm-hmm.
and why I think that she lost me.
Yes.
But all in all, she did a good job. I mean, a lot of people that are going from what she's going through and then going to the horror genre, they have a really hard time doing
yes.
it. And she actually, you can tell that she really enjoyed it.
Yes.
You can tell. Like, it's behind the eyes. I've explained this to Daniel. You can tell. Uh-huh. Like, it's the smile behind the eyes for them when they see
yes.
the blood and stuff, if they really like it. If they don't, then you're going to get, like, a Nev Campbell stare. Love you, Nev.
Yeah.
Love you to death. But we all know you don't like horror movies, and it's okay.
No, 100%. And
okay.
I think, and the thing with Sydney is, especially right now with the internet and the way it is, she is looked at a lot because of her looks nowadays. I don't think that's harsh to say, and I'm not trying to be mean about it.
She's like,
I think
this day's Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, she's a great actress with a lot of potential, but she gets very sexualized on the internet. And kudos to her for taking a role like that. You could easily like put yourself in like a Dukes of Hazzard, Daisy Duke type role to where you just accentuate that, and you like what Megan Fox did. You could
yeah.
do what Megan Fox did and take those roles that just like
that's
I look
sexy
here. Yeah. But she took a role like this to where you're not seeing any part of her body. And if you do, you're seeing it incredibly pregnant and inflated. And, you know, it's not about making her set. This is a real role that she sinks her teeth into. It's
yeah.
not like, oh, look at my body, which it's like it's very admirable. Not that anyone but you was, but there's a lot of shots of her in a bikini. You know, in this one, it's very like she's in the fucking nun outfit. Most
they
of the
remain
time.
Very cultured. In
yeah.
the convent, and they also remain, like, this is why I kind of really like this period piece, is because they made sure that nothing was going to get into their way as far as expressing that period of culture goes.
Exactly.
Because they could have very much so gotten lost and gotten too preachy and too religious and everything like that, but they didn't. They did a really
no.
good job at keeping it where it was.
100%.
And I appreciated that.
I appreciate it too. And for her, you could have easily went for the low-hanging fruit, and you didn't. You actually gave her something. Like, this is a real role that she's acting throughout the whole time. She's not being sexy. She's not that that's, like, all her thing. Even in Euphoria, that's
I mean,
an actual role.
Say, though, she is one good-looking nun.
She
just
is a good
put it out there. She is a very good-looking nun, especially when they got her hair all curled and up and whatnot. Very good-looking nun.
And it was hilarious to me during the scene, which we'll get into the movie, but the scene when they find out that she's pregnant, but she hasn't had sex yet. They're like, come on. They're all looking at her like, come on, you did something. She's like, no, I swear to God, I've never done it.
They're like, have you done this? Have you done that? Have you done this? And then finally the doctor came in and was like, no, her hymen's intact.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, she didn't pop her shit. Oh, no, okay. She really didn't have sex.
But just to – let's give the plot a little bit. But by the way, this is already making money. We had a $9 million budget. It's already made 13, and this is its second week. So that's not bad. And
it's good for period pieces.
It's good for period pieces, especially this went up against Ghostbusters. This went up against – what else did it go up against?
Late Night Talks of the Devil.
Yes. It's got up a couple things. Blockbuster – or a blockbuster franchise and Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are going to see Ghostbusters. So the – yeah. The
As
second one.
As you are horror-like. But, yeah.
Yeah, there's a new one with Paul Rudd. So people are going to go see that. But, like, the fact that this is still making money is very impressive. And as horror fans, we'd love to see it.
Absolutely.
So let's get into the plot of the movie. Just give us the bare bones plot, Mindy, because people are going to want to go see this thing.
So basically, Sydney Sweeney, she plays a young Sister Cecilia. And she's so young in her sisterhood that she's not even, like, she hasn't even taken her vows yet.
Yes.
And unfortunately, she comes from a really, really tiny parish.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what they did was they tore her parish down and sent her to a convent in Italy. Like, she was with the Pope, you guys.
Yeah.
Like, she was in the convent of all convents. And basically what this convent was it's where old popes basically come to get assisted into heaven, basically.
Yeah.
She's basically doing hospice care on these older priests
yeah.
and whatnot, basically a hospice care unit. And she's very timid, very shy, has every right to be because she has no idea what anyone's saying to her either.
Yeah.
She got moved within 2 weeks. She don't know what's happening.
Yeah, that's what most of the people are speaking.
And everyone's asking her, like, how, da, 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 da. And she's like, I don't know anything that you're saying to me.
Yeah.
Like, she needs a translator and everything. Like, she starts to get a little bit more fluent throughout the movie, and it show. And that shows that the actress really cared about the part.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, she did a good job. I mean, and it's
yeah.
a very intense film. Like, I told Daniel, you can get this from watching the trailer. It's like Rosemary's Baby meets a convent.
Yeah, that's the ultimate comparison to it, I'd say. I think you hit it right on the head when you said that. It's both of those two movies put together. There's a very – Sydney Sweeney has openly said that her favorite movie is Midsommar,
mm-hmm.
and I feel a lot of that influence in here as well.
Oh, definitely, especially with the cult-likeness of it.
Yeah.
Midsommar definitely swoops into that.
And it, especially just the way it's shot, it feels very Midsommar-ish, like
mm-hmm.
especially the scene where the one girl kill herself, the one that didn't like her. Well, who was that again? Was that Gwen or somebody else?
No, Gwen was her friend.
Okay.
There was one other girl that she didn't really necessarily got along with, but she knew she was there.
Might have been Sister Mary.
And I think that's Sister Mary.
Okay.
As the girl that tried snubbing her in the bathroom.
Nope, Sister Isabel.
Oh,
my
Sister
bad.
Isabel.
But,
our bad. Sorry, guys.
But yeah, but Isabel, because she wants to be the one that goes through what they're going to go through, which we'll detail in a second. But Sydney kind of takes that away from her because they chose Sydney. And Isabel's not happy, so Isabel tries to kill her first, tries to drown her in this, not a hot tub, but like the spring that
they basically have like a bath. Like,
yeah, that she's soaking
kind of thing
in. Yeah.
That they're soaking in, and like they're all supposed to be having like a communal bath and shit. But once she becomes special, which we'll get more into, she her life becomes more and more deranged, I would say, a little bit.
Yeah,
like she is not a deranged person, but everyone around her either loves her or hates her.
Yeah, and a lot of the church is treating her with special favor now that she is this gift, or she's carrying this gift, and you know she's first priority, and Isabel don't fuck with that. So Isabel first tries to drown her, gets caught, and then when Sydney's like, she's just walking past the church courtyard, and then off this big building, off the temple, I believe, you know, you see someone fall, like jump off, and that shot, and that's Isabel. Isabel kills herself,
yeah.
And it's very grotesque
like
looking.
Style, like,
yes.
Baby, look at me.
But that shot reminds me a lot of Midsommar, or something that they would do, like her just walking and then like looking, and then the camera pans to that, and that like that
yeah,
felt Midsommar-ish. Yeah.
Like they didn't really bring that much of a crowd to what was going on there. I mean, they did a little bit, but I don't know. For me, because I went out and I read the plot and stuff, and from what the plot was, and then from what we saw in theaters, it does differentiate a
yes.
little bit, unfortunately, for me.
100%.
I really wish that they would have focused more on the story at hand
yes.
rather than it being a period piece.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my personal opinion.
I don't disagree with you, but I do think the work that they made, that they put into making it a period piece, shows off in the movie and makes it feel more authentic.
Because
this could very well just look like, oh, Sydney Sweeney's playing nun, and it's just kind of stupid. But this does feel like a real, like, it feels like a piece of Italian culture that she's there, and the scenery, it chews up a lot of the, I enjoy it. That's one of the top things that I like about the movie, ambiance and the vibe around the whole.
Oh, yeah, the cinematography was absolutely gorgeous.
I agree. They gave her, even though like a fucking, $9 million or whatever budget isn't fucking a lot, they really, you know, put a lot of that in the cinematography and shooting this movie really well.
Yeah, I don't know where they went to, if they actually went to Italy
or
whatnot. But
we got Sharon in the live. We got a few people. Thank you for everybody joining in.
Yep, thank you, everybody.
But, yeah, I'm not sure where it was shot. I could find that out, though.
Yeah, so don't exactly know. No. Sorry. Okay, yeah, so it is going up against Frozen Empire, Ghostbusters, and Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah, it doesn't say where it's shot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she first auditioned in 2014, and it was in developmental hell.
10 years ago.
And it's kind of cool to me that, like, you can tell that it's Sydney Sweeney's popularity that made this movie happen.
Yeah, because she
like,
made all that money. That's the only reason why she was able to do it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, she's hot now. It's killing it. Let's fucking do it. If we're going to do it, let's do it now.
Yeah, and from what I've heard, she funded most of this project because she wanted to do it.
Now, get into, because we do have to spoil a little bit, what makes Sydney Sweeney special and what's kind of the whole crux of this movie?
She's like the Virgin Mary.
Okay.
Just like in Rosemary's Baby, she gets impregnated with a child, and everyone sees it as Jesus's second coming. But there's this really weird priest, and the priest, which I wish they would have dabbled more on in the movie. I really do, because they did it, and that pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
Because the plot was actually to have him, what he did was he grabbed a fragment of DNA off the cross that Jesus was on.
Yeah.
And then he implanted that into Sister Cecilia. And then she created life. So he was basically trying to recreate the whole baby in a manger, Jesus' second coming, that kind of stuff. He tried to completely redo it and do it over. And you don't do that.
No.
Like, no. Like, that's Jesus. You're just, no. But, sorry, guys, I am a little funny sometimes. but like, they just...
Because they used his, like, DNA from the nails by the cross and shit, right?
Yeah, they used the DNA from his hands and his feet. And it's, like, number one, how the hell does this work?
Yeah.
And number two, like, I felt so bad for this poor girl, because as soon as she was pregnant, they were treating her like a they went in between treating her like a show dog and treating her like a piece of crap.
Well, once she started fighting it, then they're like, fuck you, bitch, give birth and die. We don't give a fuck about it.
She kind of shoved a freaking chicken up her...
Yeah, for snatch and fuck it, yeah.
And pretended that it was the baby and that she was miscarrying to get herself to the hospital because they wouldn't give her actual medical attention, which is kind of genius.
Oh, yeah, and honestly, one of my favorite scenes in the movie, just because of how everybody freaks the fuck out about it.
And how overacted she did. She did a really good job acting at that part.
And also, like, the people, she's getting chased down in a field, and it's like, this dude fucking football tackles her. It's like, bro, she's with Jesus, you know, she's with the second coming, and you're treating her like a linebacker? Like, what the fuck? This baby's so important, but let's beat the shit out of her, you know what I mean? It's gonna come out with fucking three arms, because...
That's what I'm saying, they go in between treating her like the chosen one to treating her like Burning Man.
Yeah.
Or, like, fucking, the Wicker Man.
Yeah.
Burning her in that huge wicker thing.
Yeah.
It didn't actually burn her, but
no.
Still... Like, they could have and probably gotten away with it. And unfortunately, the priest doesn't really, like, tell everyone else what's going on. So no one really knows. The convent kind of is just convinced that she's a miracle. Because actually, she, and this is the reason why she was chosen, because when she was about 7, she fell through ice and she died for about 13 minutes.
Yeah.
And they brought her back to life. So that's actually what made her qualify in the first place.
Yes.
And that's actually why she decided to become a nun. Because she felt that if she
had
could be saved, that she had something else to give to somebody.
Yes. And I do think that, you know, that came through her character well. You know, she never felt disingenuous. I know your bit, and we'll get into your big gripe about her character right now. And that's that, and a lot of the internet's saying it too. It's not just you, but a lot of people are saying, you know, sometimes she seems pregnant, sometimes she doesn't.
It just seems like every once in a great while, like especially after her water breaks, that like every, like maybe once every like 10 minutes, she just forgets.
Yeah.
And she stops screaming.
Yeah.
And she just starts like not even running. She's just walking. And it's like, did you forget what we're doing here?
Yeah.
Move your ass.
Yeah, what the fuck
you are pregnant. And like especially after her water broke and she had to climb through a cave and whatnot, it's like, dude, how are you doing this and not screaming right now?
Yeah.
Because they also branded her feet with the freaking cross too. So she could barely move to begin with, because her feet were already burned up, and then she has this thing in her, and the good and the bad part of it is that you're always kind of guessing as to what this thing is.
Yeah.
And is it good or is it evil?
Yeah.
Or is it even a baby? Mm-hmm. Or is it like a crocodile or something?
Yeah, what is
it? What is in her hoo-ha?
Yeah.
What is going on here? What's the bun in the oven?
Another scene I really liked, and it's a callback to like classic horror, is them wheeling her in the wheelchair when she's like figuring out that they did this to her,
mm-hmm.
and seeing all the placentas, like all the fucked up like specimens that they had, like with other girls.
Yeah, they had so many like mistake specimens and stuff there. Like it was brutal. It actually was pretty real.
I will say though, that last 10 minutes of the movie, first of all, the last 20 minutes of the movie are fucking outrageous, because when you talk about like fucking them beating her up, it's like she should have like miscarriage or something. How the fuck does she turn into Sylvester Stallone for the last 30 minutes and starts dropping motherfuckers like it's an action movie? Like, this bitch is in Die Hard fucking sliding across the front of Toyota Camrys and fucking beating the shit out of people.
That's what I said. Like, I don't get how she actually gives birth at the end of the movie, because she's all over the place.
Yeah.
She thinks that they died.
Yeah, she was just jumping around like it was nobody's fucking business and fucking everybody up. And it's like, holy shit. And then, but I will say, the last 10 minutes of the movie, She is really good. That whole giving birth scene, she did a really good job of screaming and fucking the way she's gritting her fucking teeth, and like it seemed like real childbirth. She did a really good job in that like one month. And the scene went for like fucking 7 minutes of a close up on her face, and blood's like coming out of her nose, and she says, like, it's like she does a really good job in that scene.
And apparently the reason they filmed it that way is because she said that she wanted people to guess whether or not she was going to actually have the thing.
Yeah.
Or if it was going to kill her first.
It's a great ending to the movie, because you take a movie like this and you're like, how do we end this thing? How do, because it's, you can't really go out on a positive note and give the people something to be happy about. You can't really, like, you know, kill Sydney Sweeney. So what do? I think
like a Rosemary Baby and raise it. Like,
yeah.
What's going on here?
But the choice they went through is her putting the baby, giving birth quick, and then, well, not quick, but giving birth and then, you know, snuffing the baby out, you know, putting it out of its misery, grabbing a giant rock, holding it over her head. Thank God they just fucking had her lower it, and then credits hit, or else I would have fucking puked.
Yeah, I would have been out for the count had they actually killed something. But by the way that it didn't cry, and it like kind of had like that.
Yeah, it was like a demon.
Really demonic growl kind of thing, that guttural growl. I feel like that was the director's and her way of telling us that this wasn't a human kid that was born.
It could have very well been, but it could have also, so was the priest doing experiments, and this is the first baby that was successful. Hell of a question by Sharon and Peanut. I'm going to credit Peanut for that one. But I would say, yeah, the priest was doing experiments the whole time. He was like kind of
the
main bad guy.
That's why the other nuns are mad, because
yes.
He was doing this to all of the fertile.
Father Sal Tedeschi. And he's like this like scummy Italian dude that's like, you don't trust him from the beginning. And then he kind of like, he shows his cards at the end. You might think he's like a loving, I think that actor personally, the choice he made was to make that character sleazy the whole time.
Yeah.
I thought something was up the whole fucking time with him.
Yeah.
I never thought that he had a genuine bone in his body.
Especially when he like touched her. It was crazy.
Yes.
He gave me creeps.
But I will say, just to finish up that note, I don't think you can end the movie any better, and I think that's a solid ending for this movie. The ending, like, we've seen a lot of these horror movies, so it's like, great movie, ending fucking sucked. This wasn't that. This had a really pretty good ending for what the story was being told.
Yeah, it was pretty smooth sailing around the whole thing. There wasn't really any twists and turns and bumps and stuff. I mean, yeah, we did see a little bit from the cult-like atmosphere and everything. We did get a little bit of that. But in all reality, like, it came in and it did its job. It knew what it was supposed to do. It knew that it was supposed to be less of a possession piece, more of a cult-like film, and it did its job.
Yeah, I think it did its job wonderfully, and I would almost give this. Actually, I gave this 7.3. I would give this 7.3 Dead Baby Jesuses out of 10.
I would have to give it 7.5 Dead Baby Fetuses. I'm not going to say the other thing that he just said, because that is totally inappropriate.
Well, it's the movie. But, and also, like, you're talking about the sound he made. Maybe he's a demon, but also, I don't know what a baby, like, not with an incubator sounds like. Maybe, because it just sounds like he was, like, struggling to breathe. Like, could have been a regular fucking baby.
maybe.
Probably not, though. Since you,
like, let us know if you have a baby that growled first before
it died. I did like this movie. I would, you know, I'm interested to see what else she had. That's what I'm coming out of this, you know, thinking, that it's like, the director, too, I thought the director did a good job. But I want to see what Sydney Sweeney's up to next. Michael Mohan.
Okay.
I would like to see what he's up to next, but the main thing for me coming out of this is, like, what is she going to do next? Is she going to do more horror? Is she going to try to Ortega this bitch? Or is she going to go back for a rom-com? Like, what is she going to do?
Ortega is just set in horror, though, because you got to remember, she's one of the only horror people out there that actually enjoy it.
Yeah, I was talking to a buddy at work, and I had to give him, like, a half-hour history lesson. Because he was taught, he's like, I finally watched that movie X. And I was like, oh, you did? What'd you think? He's like, I really liked it. I thought it was awesome. He's like, and it felt like something different for Jenna Ortega. He's like, she doesn't normally do shit like that, right? I'm like, no, that's her whole career. I was like, that's literally every...
The only thing she did out of the ordinary was get yiggities.
Yeah, and like, yeah, that's pretty much it. But even, like, she's sort of sexual and Scream and stuff. She makes out with that kid, so, like... that's her whole career. She's been doing horror. If you've just seen Wednesday and that's what you think she is, then okay. But her whole career is horror movies.
Yeah.
So I think, like, even from that Babysitter too. So I like Jenna Ortega. I like Sydney Sweeney. I think we have – I'll always, you know, preach the name. I know she's doing more everything than Anya Taylor-Joy because
mm-hmm.
she was Princess Peach and she fucking killed it. But
she killed everything that she does.
Those three are kind of the ladies in Hollywood. And I know you got Zendaya and a couple others, but that's what's kind of taking over right now.
Those are the three that are taking over our genre. So
yes.
That's why we're more like into them. Because I will have to say, Jenna Ortega did have one piece that it had nothing to do with horror. It was called The Fallout. It was written and directed by first-time director Megan Park.
Yes.
Won a couple awards. And she was in it with a Dance Mom star Madison Ziegler.
Yes.
And I enjoyed the movie, but Madison kind of just could have went away and I wouldn't have known the difference.
Yes.
It was just kind of like she was there.
And Ortega's work in You, that's not, it's thriller, but it's not so much horror.
We kind of gave up on You.
Yeah.
Let's be honest to the people.
But a lot of people
kinda
still
gave
like
up on that.
We did, but a lot of people liked it. She's in that third season. So.
Is she?
Yeah.
Is she the killer?
No. But she's one of the girls that, like,
Joe's... Did she get another boy? Or another girl?
No, she's, like, some girl's sister that he, like, tries to protect and shit.
Oh,
but,
okay. Joe's so weird.
Yeah, Joe's a fucking weirdo. But, I thought this movie's a 7.3. I think it's really good. I think the brutal parts of it, there's grotesque parts. It's a really good horror flick, you know. If you need something right now, if you think it's a little light on the horror and you want to go to the theaters and see something, go see this, you know.
Yeah, it's not as, like, demonic and stuff as, like, the other things out there. Like, if you have a choice between Talks with the Devil and this movie and you're not that into horror, go with this one.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to scar you as much. From what I've heard, the Talks with the Devil movie is really intense.
Because the one thing I will say about it in a negative aspect is this does feel a bit watered down.
Yeah.
It has that Hollywood glitz to it. It doesn't feel like authentic, raw horror. It's got that Hollywood.
Especially when she's like, there's a part of her like laying in the bathtub by herself.
Yeah.
And like it goes to like everyone taking a communal bath to her having her own bath.
100%.
And it's like she's like laying there like with her head partially underwater and it's like, what if somebody just comes and drowns this bitch and then the person that actually was going to came in and swooped in and actually did it? And like, oh, I feel so bad.
It's your
I
fault.
I hope she doesn't die.
It's your fault. All right. But yeah, this was really good. What do you want to do next week?
Next week, I don't know. I really want you to get behind Good Night Mommy. They came out with a newer version of it, and I want you to see the original 2015 made in Australia but French origin film because it is fantastic.
What's it called?
It is called Good Night Mommy.
And where is it on?
It is on Tubi.
Okay. I'll watch it.
I got him to watch it, guys.
We'll
I'm going to get him to watch a horror film.
All right, we'll do it. First, I fucking did some more Girl from Nowhere for you, and now this bullshit.
Hey, Girl from Nowhere is a good show.
It is a good show.
It has the right to be seen in the United States. Everyone should say hashtag Girl From Nowhere Season 3 because we're not going to get it. It's already made. But the U.S. people are like, no, we don't want to pay for it.
Well, I can't deal with any more traumatic experiences, so I'm cool with it. But we'll see everybody next week. It's going to be on a Saturday. It's going to be next Saturday, most likely, because you're going to come over for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So we'll probably be going live and doing that next Saturday.
Yeah.
And we'll see everybody next week.
All right. Hootie hoo, y'all. And this is a really good opportunity for us to see all of you guys. So everyone that liked the TikTok and live and whatnot, thank you very much for joining. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Ooh, let me just hit the outro.
You gotta keep them separated.